Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Good.
Good to be back here again with you.
Good to be back. And last week we had a nice talk about servants and friends.
Yeah, we certainly did.
Yeah, you can go to the website and listen to the show, or it's also out on a podcast. But basically we're working from a passage, John chapter 15, 13 to 17. We're going to have Stephen read it in a minute. And we talked about how we're now called friends instead of slaves, and we're not servants anymore because a servant doesn't know what his master's doing, but now we know what the master's doing. And actually, Stephen, why don't you just read that again, John 15, 13 to 17.
Sure. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another.
So, his followers are his friends. They're not his slaves or his servants anymore. Because he says, a servant doesn't know what his master's doing. We talked about Psalm 123 last week, where a servant's eyes are focused on his master's hand, and the maid's focused on her mistress's hand, because they're waiting for directions, they're waiting for commands, they're waiting to see what the master wants them to do. We're now in a different position because we know what the master's doing. Jesus says he told us what his Father's doing. He told us what his Father's plan was. And then he also promised a paraclete, another comforter, another helper that's even in a more intense way going to show us these things. And he's going to show us through the scriptures and through words what he wants us to do, because now we're his friends and the people around us are fellow servants and fellow friends. So we're kind of in a covenant of friends. He's happy to call his followers friends. I mean, this is mind-boggling, radical concept. And if you listen to last week's show, you can go to the website and hear it, giftofgraceministries.org. Talked about how through the Old Testament, through the Tanakh, and especially in the Torah, how there wasn't any talk about friends. Moses was the servant of God, and God called Moses his friend, but nobody else. And now he says, all my followers are my friends. Mm-hmm. And so when you have friends, you care about your friends a lot differently than you care about your servants, a lot differently than you care about slaves. Or a lot different even than you care about strangers. Mm-hmm. Because you know your friends, you know what their situations are, you know what their problems are, you get involved with them and at different levels. And that's how he's involved with us now. Mm-hmm. He says, I made the things of the Father known to you. And he adds too in John's gospel, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you.
Right.
Which is just an incomprehensible statement that the love that the Father has for the Son goes within the relationships within the Godhead, mm-hmm. and that love is the same love that he has for us. It's incomprehensible.
Yeah.
And this is the level that he cares about us. In the book of Hebrews, it says we have a high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses because Jesus is 100% man and 100% God, lived as a man for 33 years, had the whole human experience except for sin, mm-hmm. and he understands what our weaknesses are.
Yeah.
So when we're happy, he rejoices with us. Yeah. When we're sad, he's sad with us. When Lazarus died, he wept.
Mm-hmm.
Shortest verse in the Bible. Good trivia question. Jesus yep. wept. And, you know, he stands beside us. He pleads for us with the Father. And this is what you do when you love somebody with agape love, which is unconditional, and they're your friends rather than your slaves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. He pours out his life for us. And on the cross, he shows us that immense love that he has for us. And as you're saying that when you have, you know, when you're a friend, you know, when you're friends with somebody, but you love them unconditionally, you know, you can look past, their imperfections.
Mm-hmm.
But God looks, you know, God's created us and he sees us as he's created us to be. And in God's creation, he sees us as that perfect person that he created us to be, that holy person he created mm-hmm. us to be. And so it's kind of like, you know, in any relationship, when you get to know somebody, usually about after the first month or two, all the proper posturing and fine etiquette behavior is all the polished stuff that somebody tries to do is usually out the window.
Yeah.
And you get to the person that they really are. And that's generally where you can tell if you're going to have a friendship or not, if you're going to have a relationship or not. Because if you can you really accept this person, the other person that you're talking to as they are
mm-hmm.
and walk with them and be with them. And most of the times I think we get into, we don't have anything in common, or, you know, gosh, that thing that other person does, man, that really annoys me.
Yeah.
You know, we get into those things because we're human beings, which we shouldn't, but, the point I'm trying to get at is that in this relationship that Jesus is establishing with his disciples, letting them know that they're his friends now, he walks with them. He's going to lay down his life for them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sharing everything that he has heard from the Father with them. He's preparing them to be heirs to the kingdom, even though they really don't understand it mm-hmm. until the Spirit comes, mm-hmm. even though they don't understand it fully until the Spirit comes.
Oh, yeah, that's very well put. You know, it says that no greater love is there than somebody who lays down their life for their friend.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, too, when you bring up the point about how when you hang around with a friend for a long time, you find out what their annoying habits are.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually you may say, well, man, that's way too annoying for me, so I'm going to hang around with that guy less than I used to.
Yeah.
But he doesn't do that.
Right.
You know, he loves at all times, no matter what your, you know, weak points and failings are. He still walks with you, still walks beside you, because he loves us like the Father loves him. We can't comprehend how he looks at us, but you said it well when, you know, you say he sees us as we're supposed to be. He sees us in our perfected state.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees us as we were created,
right.
to have eternal life with him.
Mm-hmm.
And we've kind of, you know, blown that if left to our own devices.
Yeah. Sin tarnishes that. Yeah.
Yeah. Sin tarnishes that, everything that we do. But he sees the perfection at the end. And so he walks with us. And because he's human and he's calling these guys friends, he has that human connection with them as well as that divine connection with them. And as we read in all the Gospels, when his apostles, when the inner core of disciples were talking to him, walking with him, they called him Master, they called him Lord. You know, and in one Gospel he says, you call me Master and Lord, and you're right, because that's what I am.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's calling them friends.
Yeah.
And this is a whole different level of relationship that has to do with the spirit of adoption that we have,
mm-hmm.
which we've talked about before, because of his sacrifice on the cross,
right.
and because the Spirit's poured out, and because, as believers, the Spirit dwells in us and shows us these things in a much different way than watching the hand of your master, watching the hand of your mistress to see what they want you to do.
Yeah.
Even Moses had to go stand in front of God while he talked with him, and he was the special guy.
Yeah.
I mean, Joshua and those other guys, they were awesome, but they didn't know what God was planning to do.
Yeah. You know, really, it's really the master extending his hand in friendship to the servant now.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's not just pointing and making a motion and you go do this, go that without speaking, mm-hmm. but it's really extending his hand and he's asking the servant to take my hand.
Yeah.
Walk with me.
Yeah.
Because I want to walk with you. So that's the friendship that ensues in that exchange. And, you know, we really get to the embrace that the father gives his son when he sees him coming back in the parable of the prodigal son. That embrace, that extension of the hand to welcome him back, mm-hmm. then the embrace that he gives him, that's really the transformation that takes place in this relationship that Jesus is establishing through his life, through his death and resurrection, and with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. In that passage about the prodigal son, the Greek means that the father smothers him.
Yeah.
With hugs and kisses. I mean,
yeah.
He smothers him. He just doesn't give him a little hug and say,
"Glad
hey,
you're
welcome
back.
Home, let's go."
Yeah.
He smothers him.
Yeah.
And then he puts the robe and the ring and, you know, right over his filthy, smelly clothes.
Yeah.
Right over his, like, sickening pig stuff.
Doesn't say, man, you really stink. Go take a bath first.
Man, get some body wash and then come back. But
yeah,
it's a powerful emotion that we don't really understand. And Jesus is trying to explain to these guys, a servant doesn't know what his master's doing. You're going to know. Just like a few weeks ago, we talked about how he says to them, the world doesn't know the Holy Spirit because it can't see him.
Yeah.
But you guys are going to know him. You guys
right.
know him.
Yeah.
And they, of course, would have thought, well, how do we know? We don't even know what he's talking about. How are we going to know him?
Exactly.
But then later on, they knew on Pentecost morning,
mm-hmm.
they understood how they were yeah. going to know him. And for those of you that have had the baptism of the Holy Spirit and, you know, walk in the ministry of the Spirit, you know what we're talking about when Jesus says, you know, the world doesn't know the Spirit, but you're going to know him because we know what he does, how he works, and then we know what he wants us to do. So even though Jesus was master and Lord, he was now calling these guys friends. And this is just before the cross, I mean, immediately before the cross. And it's interesting, too, that after the resurrection, he talks to them in a whole different type of voice, calls them children, talks very intimately and tenderly with them, concerned about them, you know, did you catch anything? Come on over here. I made you some breakfast. I made you some fish and some toast. You want to come over and eat? This is, a concern for their physical well-being.
Right.
As well as their spiritual well-being. And Peter and Paul, you know, when they write, they always call themselves bondservants. Paul always calls himself, I'm a bondservant of the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, we don't know what a bondservant is, but in those days, people knew what a bondservant was. I mean, you were pretty much owned by the guy who was your master.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you were a bondservant, sort
yeah.
of like a slave. And, you know, the Greek word was doulos, and Paul says, I'm a doulos, I'm the bondservant. But actually, they're friends. You know, Peter heard Jesus directly say, you guys are my friends now.
Yeah.
But he, of course, and none of us are worthy of that. So Peter still referred to him as a servant, a bondservant. Mm-hmm. But this is a whole different relationship, as we said, that Moses didn't have, the people in the wilderness didn't have, the people in the Psalms didn't have, because they had very restrictive ways they were going to approach God, and it wasn't as a friend.
Yeah.
And it wasn't as a daddy.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, in John chapter 10:10, Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And this relationship that he's establishing with the with his disciples, with the apostles, is the same relationship that we have with him, that we can have with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just an automatic type of relationship, because there's always a response in a relationship. You know, if you call somebody and talk with them and they don't respond to anything you're saying, we have a one-sided conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you really used, you might as well have the servant-master relationship there. But if you talk to somebody and they respond and they talk back to you and you have a conversation, then there's a dialogue. There's probably a friendship. So it's really, we have to do our part, because we have a part in the relationship. Jesus is making known to us all that the Father's taught him. The Holy Spirit reminds us of everything that Jesus taught, because the Holy Spirit always points back to Jesus, as we've said many times, because the Holy Spirit is the advocate. He's an ambassador for Christ. And as that is taking place, the Holy Spirit, you know, prompts us. We, you know, God's grace, if we respond to God's grace, we can draw near to God. We can draw closer and more intimate with God, because that love is there. You know, Jesus says, well, you see things in that others wanted to see, but they couldn't.
Mm.
You hear what others wanted to hear, but didn't hear.
Mm.
Because he's the fullness of God in flesh.
Right.
And they can look upon him and not be struck dead.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the Holy Spirit can dwell within us. The fullness of the Godhead can dwell within us. And he abides with us, and we can walk with him, and we're not struck dead.
Yeah.
That's the amazing transformation.
Yeah, well put. Ooh, this is good too. This fits right in. Wow. That's why you're the music minister. Anyway.
I'm trying to do my part.
check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
You placed your hand over his face. Your presence, he wouldn't die. And all Israel saw your glory, and it shines down through the age. Now you've called us to boldly seek your face. Show me your face, Lord. Show me your face. And then gird up my legs, I might stand in this holy place. Show me your face, Lord, your power and your grace. I will make it to the end. Could just see your face. will make it to the end. If I could just see your face, if I could just see your face, you'd show me.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Love that song.
That's an awesome song.
And, you know, it before we go on with whatever it is we're going to do next, after 10 hours of rehearsal, we're still not sure. But anyway, yeah. No, we had like zero time of rehearsal, but it's interesting that although God called Moses his friend, he wasn't allowed to see the glory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, David knew there was some kind of glory, but, you know, David got really scared when they moved the ark and Uzzah was struck down.
Yeah.
And yet, when they came to see little baby Jesus, they saw the glory.
Yeah.
And Moses in Exodus 33, you know, says, oh, let me see your glory. God says, you can't because you'll die.
Yeah.
But you can get a glimpse of it if you're in the cleft of the rock.
Yeah.
We talked last week about how the rock is Jesus, as Paul says.
Yeah. You know, when you're bringing that up, like when Jesus is born, you know, there's the heavenly host that are announcing his birth to shepherds.
Yeah.
So they're seeing this glory revealed and, they can look upon him.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mary and Joseph were able to look upon him.
Yeah.
The wise men were able to look upon him.
Yeah.
You know, everybody that was there was able to look upon him, and they saw the glory of Israel. Yeah,
that Moses couldn't see.
Simeon looked upon him.
Simeon, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Simeon says he's a light to the Gentiles, he's the glory of Israel.
Yeah.
So the glory of Israel had the covenants, they had the ark, there was the Shekinah glory, they had the scriptures, they had all these things.
Right.
That were their glory compared to all the other people.
Right.
Compared to our ancestors. But then Simeon says, this is the glory of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And what is he holding? A 40-day-old baby.
Yeah.
It's really pretty amazing.
Yeah. He's holding the fullness of God.
Yeah, that's right.
He's holding God.
Fullness of the Godhead dwells in him in Colossians. But interestingly, before we go on to, because we're going to get on to bigger and better things too. Well, what could be bigger and better than being his friends?
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. And there's even a step. I mean, being somebody's friend is nice. I mean, being, you know, having a good friend that you could say, ha ha, let's do this, ha ha, let's do that, or share something with, or do something fun with, or share something bad with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you got something bad going on, and you share it with a close friend.
Yeah.
It's a lot better than like just kind of stewing about it on your own.
Yeah.
But what's even better than friends is in the book of Romans, Paul has this amazing thing. Chapter 8 of Romans is probably my favorite chapter
by far,
scripture.
By far your favorite.
But where you have this idea that Paul writes, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. He says, because we did not receive a spirit of bondage, but a spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Yeah. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. So even above the idea of being friends, Jesus called these guys his friends, and by extension calls us his friends because he's telling us we know what the master's doing.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling us what the master's doing. Now, the spirit comes into our spirit, little s, capital S spirit, comes to our little s spirit and says, you can cry out Abba. You can cry out Daddy.
Yeah.
You are sons. You don't have a spirit of bondage.
Right.
Where you were in the wilderness and you had to worry about who was allowed to touch the ark, what kind of clothes you had to wear to do this, and what kind of where you had to set everything and all these things. But now you, instead of having that spirit, you have a spirit of adoption.
Mm-hmm.
Adoption, where you become adopted sons and daughters. You
yeah.
become adopted children.
Yep.
And if you're adopted children, then you're heirs, he
yeah.
says. And if you're the heir, you're joint heirs with Christ. You're co-heirs with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's the true son. We're the adopted sons and
right.
daughters. But we become co-heirs. So the separation is not only gone, and this idea of master and servant is not only gone, and this concept of friendship is not only, I don't want to say gone, but it's extended now to mm-hmm. being a son.
Yeah.
And if you're a son of the house, you're in a whole different relationship than if you're the slave in the house.
Right. Right. Yeah, because now you have the same rights and privileges as a natural born son. You have the same rights and privileges that any child has with their parent. And, you know, if you had an adopted son or daughter, if you treated them any less or different than your natural born son or daughter,
yeah.
you would create a rift in your family.
Oh, yeah.
Or you certainly wouldn't make them feel loved or accepted.
No.
And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, Israel is God's first, you know, son.
Mm-hmm.
And we're the adopted sons.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the one new man.
The new man.
Because we're invited into this covenant through the blood of Jesus, to share God's kingdom
mm-hmm.
and to work for God's kingdom. But it's the Holy Spirit that enables us to do that. And as you said in this passage from Romans, to cry out, Abba, Daddy,
mm-hmm.
and to, you know, be embraced by the Father and to just have that intimate relationship with God that he once had with Adam and Eve.
Yes.
You know, and to restore that friendship that he wants to have with us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's much more than a friendship. You know, it's so much more than a friendship because it's a covenant. And the intimacy that intimate relationship that God wants to have with us is, I think it's something that goes, you know, far beyond just the friendship. As Jesus was asking
oh, yeah.
Peter,
yes.
do you love me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you really, really love me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that agape love.
Yes.
Because he's willing to lay down his life for us, and he
yes.
did. So it's much more than a, you know, just a casual friendship. Hey, let's go out and get a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
You know, you invite somebody that you really care about to dinner. You share a meal with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's even much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think in our own human existence, we really can't, we don't fully understand or grasp the, you know, the depth or the dimension of the relationship that God wants to have with us.
Yeah. And that, you know this concept of love that, it, because in English we only have one word for love,
mm-hmm.
and you say, well, I love God, I love my wife, I love my kids. But I also love my car, and I love my job,
right?
And I love ice cream,
right?
And I love chocolate cake, or whatever it is.
I love all those things.
It's all the same word.
Yeah.
It doesn't have
How do you
the
distinguish?
Different meanings
yeah.
that the Greek has. So when Jesus has that conversation with Peter, he's saying, Peter, do you love me with a supernatural, unconditional love, which is agape love.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter answers them, well, you know, I love you because, you know, you're like a brother to me. I love hanging out with you. It's been great just kind of being with you. They're talking about two different levels of love.
Yeah.
Peter doesn't get this idea of this overwhelming supernatural agape love.
Mm-hmm.
And even though he has said to them, you know, you're my friends, I'm laying down my life for my friends, it's not until later, and we're going to eventually get to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you know, interacting in these things since we've been talking about the Holy Spirit here and there. Well, not here and there, but that was the whole what this was supposed to be about. But, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to show Peter what this actually meant. Because
yeah.
Now the separation, the veil's gone, the separation's gone, and we don't have to be afraid.
Yeah.
We don't have to be afraid to approach. In Hebrews it says we can approach the throne boldly.
Mm-hmm.
Because sin and the bondage to the law leads us to Jesus.
Right.
And then, you know, the Spirit of adoption sends us to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole plan of salvation, which of course is Trinitarian, because the three persons in the Godhead don't have three different plans. They're, you know, the plan is one.
Yeah.
So because of what Jesus does, and because the Spirit comes into our spirit and says, now you can cry out, Abba,
mm-hmm.
we have this Spirit of adoption now that sends us to the Father as sons and daughters. And it's quite an amazing thing where you're in bondage to sin and then suddenly you're an adopted son.
Yeah.
You know, you're out in the world just kind of schlepping along trying to do something. Then all of a sudden you're sitting at the table as a co-heir.
Yeah.
That's a huge difference.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, that's what the Spirit, that's what really, when John says, you know, one is coming after me who is mightier than I.
Yeah.
He'll baptize you with the fire and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus wants to immerse us, this baptism in the Holy Spirit that we've kind of been hinting at here for this last 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 weeks, 12, 13, 14 weeks, whatever it's been.
Is it Christmas yet?
It's fast approaching. It is the relationship that's there is the fullness of the Godhead. You know, it's the fullness of what God wants us to have that we can't profess that Jesus Christ is Lord except by the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
We can't cry out Abba Father except by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit enables us to do all these things. And, you know, I guess the Holy Spirit is probably the one area of the Trinity that we don't fully understand the most.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Wind. You can't see the wind. You can feel it on your face
mm-hmm.
when it passes by, but
you
can't
see the leaves moving.
You can see the leaves moving.
Well, there's no more leaves, but
you feel or
the branches moving.
Yeah, you feel or see the effects of it,
mm-hmm.
but you don't see it. And thus, if you really, you know, if you understand the Spirit, you see someone healed.
Yeah.
You see the effect of it.
Yeah.
You see the movement of it, but you don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as human beings, we like to see things. We like to have tangible, you know, put our hands on stuff. This is tangible. I can feel it. I can see it. I can understand it. And in the things of God, you know, the mysteries of God are so great that we don't fully understand them.
Yeah.
We can, you know, God's going to show us. He can reveal stuff to us, certainly, as Jesus says, that we have that relationship with him. But as we said a couple weeks ago, you know, the Spirit scrutinizes the Spirit.
Yeah, the depths of God.
The depths of God. You know, truth, scrutinizing truth. You know, it's that deep.
Yeah.
You know, the eternal wisdom of God. Who has known the mind of Christ? Those types of things. But the Spirit comes so that we can put on the mind of Christ,
mm-hmm.
that we can be clothed in his righteousness and build the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And he enables us to proclaim the gospel.
Yeah. And we don't have the spirit of fear. You know, if we follow, if we walk in the spirit, we have the spirit of adoption.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all been, and I know Stephen and I have been many places at the same time, where the spirit comes down on a group, whether it's in a church, whether it's in a house or wherever it is, and the whole atmosphere changes.
Yeah.
And you know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure many of you listening, hopefully all of you listening, have had that experience. But if we walk in the spirit, we're sons, and we don't have a spirit of fear, spirit of bondage. The law had a lot of fear, a lot of bondage. And if we're not, you know, if we don't know Jesus as a savior, we're still in bondage to sin.
Yeah.
But instead now, we're joint heirs. We're co-heirs. We're going to be glorified, just like Jesus was glorified.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really pretty incomprehensible.
Yeah,
we're
is.
Heirs. We're not purchasing our salvation. There isn't a way that we do a certain group of things and then we earn it. It's not something that, because we're so awesome, God says, well, you know, that guy's so awesome that I have to save him now. Because, man, look at all the stuff. I can't believe how awesome he's been.
Look at all those radio shows Stephen and Phil are trying to do on the Holy Spirit.
They should get some points on that. So, you know, we're heirs without really us certainly qualifying to be heirs.
Exactly.
Certainly not being, you know, so amazing that some rich guy says, I'm going to give him all my money because he's so cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's grace. It's a gift. It's not something that we earn. And he becomes our inheritance, just like in the Torah. It says he's the inheritance for the Levites. The Levites weren't going to have any land. They weren't going to own stuff.
Right.
They were going to live on the tithe.
Right.
But God is their inheritance.
Right.
The other guys might have inheritance with a lot of land and stuff. The Levites didn't have land.
Mm-hmm.
But he's their inheritance.
Yeah.
So if God's your inheritance, if you're co-heirs with Christ, if you're co-heirs to the glory that he has, if you're co-heirs to everything that he inherits, you know, what do you care about how much land you have or what your cholesterol is or whether you're, you know, tired or whether you're going to work or whether you're sleeping? Who cares? I mean, we don't have a spirit of fear.
Yeah. When, you know, being in the threshold of the house of God is better than being in the dwelling place of the unrighteous.
That's a psalm. I can't remember what number psalm it is, but it is a psalm. 84.
84.
See? Well, this is good too. This is awesome. This gets to be one of my favorite books, The Song of Songs. Anyway, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
My heart. That's me.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That song comes from Chapter 2 of the Song of Songs, the Song of Solomon. If you go to the website, giftofgraceministries.org, you can hear a whole series of audio teachings about the Song of Songs and some written teachings as well. But It's an awesome, awesome book.
Yeah.
Woo!
That song's an awesome song.
Ooh, it sure is.
And that song really, I mean, that really speaks about the relationship, the intimate relationship that God wants to have with each and every one of us as his adopted children, son or daughter.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, in John's gospel too, in chapter 17, Jesus says that he wants those that the Father gave him to see his glory. You know, Moses couldn't see the glory, but the people that the Father has given to Jesus, Jesus wants him to see his, capital H's, glory.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to see the glory that Moses couldn't see. And that's, we're talking about friends, we're talking about sons and daughters, and that song, you know, takes us into a whole nother realm where the church is the bride of Christ. It's an intimate relationship in an even different, more profound way that he is so connected with his church that the church is the bride. You know, in Ephesians 5, it says the church is going to be presented as a pure and spotless bride.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I don't know anybody who's pure and spotless, but the church is going to be presented as a pure and spotless bride.
Yeah. Well, because it's washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
That's the only way it can happen.
Yeah. And so we get to behold the glory. And in Revelation, you know, it says those that overcome sit on the throne with him. I mean, these are things that are so unbelievable that in our humanity we can't understand them. And because everything we do is so influenced by our sin nature and kind of tainted by our sin, even the good things that we do, we can't really grasp that. And within us, we think, well, I just did something that isn't right, so now he doesn't love me anymore. Or if I tell him that I'm sorry I just did that, he's going to say, hey, tough. You've been doing this, like, this is the 18th time you did this, and I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
You know, this is how we think, because this is how we interact with each other.
Right.
Like, if somebody offends you 49 times, you say, hey, I don't want to forgive you one more time, because 49 times is way more than, you know, forget it now.
Yeah.
We're not friends anymore.
Right.
And it isn't like this. We're friends. We're adopted sons. We're the bride. We're adopted by the Father. We don't have a spirit of fear.
Right.
And, you know, it goes on and on and on. And the key part of this, and we're eventually getting into some Holy Spirit things, but the key part of this is that the Spirit, capital S, witnesses to our spirit, little s.
Right.
And we know that these are sure promises. These are in his word. They're confirmed by what Jesus did. They're confirmed by the Spirit being in communication with our spirit. So we can count on these as being the truth, capital T. Right. So this gift of salvation is overwhelming in every sense.
Yeah.
It doesn't just mean, well, you know, I'm going to go to heaven, get some kind of a harp and, you know, float around playing minor chords. You know, it's such a more profound thing.
You are? You're going to get a harp?
I'm going to harp.
Wow.
But it only plays minor chords, whatever those are.
Wow. Yeah, it's, you know, if we look at the last couple of shows, we've talked about this, you know, being a servant and being a friend.
Yeah.
You know, I think you really did a great job of outlining this relationship that Moses had with God, who God called a friend, but nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
But still, he couldn't see God's glory.
Yeah.
The Spirit was poured out upon him, but only in partiality.
Yeah, exactly.
They prophesied once, but never again.
Yep.
So what Jesus does through his, by dying on the cross and shedding his blood for the redemption of all mankind, is, I don't want to say it's incomprehensible, but it restores all of God's creation back to the Father.
Exactly.
The way that it was in, you know, the way that it was.
Exactly.
And so with that, we now can have fellowship with God. We're adopted heir, you know, we're adopted sons and daughters, we're heirs to the kingdom, and he calls us friends.
Yeah.
What can be better than that?
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. You know, when somebody calls you a friend, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Somebody doesn't call you a friend, that's not such a good thing.
Yeah, it's a lot better than those guys that were swallowed up by the earth or died in the plague or poor Uzzah who touched the ark. And
yeah. Oh, wait, I'll get that. Oh, gone.
This is a whole different thing. And when we think about these things, and everybody who knows me is probably tired of me saying this, that, you know, if you don't think about the cross 20 times a day, mm-hmm. you don't get what happened there.
Yeah.
And you can't think about anything else in the same way.
Yeah. Because it puts everything in a different perspective.
Yes. A whole relationship has changed.
Yeah.
The center of history. And, you know, if you go to the website, you can go back. I don't remember when it was. A couple of years ago, we did a whole series on the cross. I think mm-hmm. it was nine shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, I think it would be worth going back in your spare time and for your homework to listen to those shows.
Yeah.
Because the cross is the center of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, when he said, you guys are my friends now, and I told you revealed to you what the Father's doing. He says this because he's going to die very, very shortly.
Yeah.
This is going to be the sacrifice.
And he's telling them no one has greater love for their friends than to lay their life down for their friends.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what he's preparing to do. But I don't think they really understand it. They didn't understand it yet. And we know that, you know, as much as we've talked about it.
Yeah.
They didn't understand it. But it's only after the Holy Spirit comes, only after Pentecost, do they understand the fullness of this great gift and what it means for really their own salvation and the salvation of the world.
Exactly.
Woo!
Awesome. Well, hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that you would just enter into that relationship with the Lord, draw close to Him for that friendship that He desires. That the Holy Spirit may come upon you, that you may call Him Abba and Daddy. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
Isaac and Abraham, an altar without a lamb, a covenant made, a hand raised in faith that God Himself.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.